The following episode of the Comics and Crypto Podcast is for informational purposes only, and anything expressed by the hosts or their guests is solely their opinion. This podcast does not constitute financial advice, and anyone wishing to invest should seek their own independent financial or professional help. Have fun and enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Sean O'Hare, and I know comics.
Hi, I'm Spencer Vogel, and I know crypto.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lee Loader, and I don't know s***. This is the Comics and Crypto Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
Hello. I like that dance, Kev. That's a good dance.
Thank you.
We're back again.
Well, I think we're always back.
I know. Oh, yeah. Hey, that's just us. We're always back, man.
We're always back.
So we just got back from Salt Lake City Fan X, which we're really excited to talk about. So many amazing stories. But before we do that, boom, we did it, boys. 20,000 followers on Twitter. That's amazing. From the bottom of our hearts, like, thank you, everybody, for all your support. This has been such a fun journey. We've met so many amazing people and traveled all over the world to meet people who are, you know, fans of the podcast. And it's just, man, it means a lot. It really means the world to us. And we just get excited. We get excited every day to, like, get involved in this stuff and just talk about it and just continue this journey. So it's barely begun, in our opinion. Yep. So thank you, everyone, again.
Thank you. And I know some of you guys are going to mess with us. You're going to see that we got to 20K, so then you're going to unfollow us just to send us back down again. And I get it. It's all good fun. But
that's fine.
But
that's why I waited till like 20,050.
That's a good buffer. That's a good buffer.
We were hovering around, and I was like, I'm going to wait till like at least 20,000. Yeah, smart. Then... I'm going to share another screen real quick. Send. Slides. Okay, now we're good.
Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 ba-dum, bum.
Yeah.
So we
all. Who is Tom Hanks?
Who is Tom Hanks?
So we all went to fans. We all went to San.
I need a minute.
God damn it.
Right when you start talking, who is Tommy? It's like, oh, God. God damn it.
So we all went to Salt Lake City and we went to Fan X, which is a huge Comic-Con event out there. It was amazing. Yeah. Our families came. My girlfriend came. It was a blast. We actually rented this Airbnb with a really cool river that ran behind.
I'd say a creek.
Yeah.
It was a really cool river. It was a nice river. We all got in rafts and went down it.
Yes, absolutely.
It's wonderful.
Because we all know Sean is a big adventure sport enthusiast.
Yeah.
Of course.
But it was amazing. I remember when Kevin and I got there, we're like, yeah, Spencer's going to love this.
I did love it.
It was so much fun. Big shout out to Fan X for giving us press badges. It was really cool. That was really fun.
Really great event.
It was really cool. I wish we had more time because most of the time we spent getting autographs.
Getting
We were there on a mission because we met the cast of Back to the Future. We stacked a bunch of VHS tapes in a suitcase. I probably bought at least one other extra suitcase full of VHS.
It was ridiculous. We're literally just wheeling around the suitcase at Comic-Con, just filled to the brim with VHS tapes.
But it was so amazing. I mean, we met Don Bluth, who's the director of Land Before Time, Secret of NIMH, American Tale. The guy's an absolute legend. And we had a chance to get quite a few VHS tapes signed by him. And that was a surreal experience. It was actually kind of cool because the representative of Don Bluth after was like, could you help us like acquire VHS tapes? Because nobody's getting them signed, but people were excited about it when they saw it. It was really validating. We also met Chris Sarandon and Ken Page. Chris Sarandon did the voice of Jack Skellington, and Ken Page did the voice of Oogie Boogie.
There it is.
That's awesome. Chris Sarandon was also the villain in Fright Night, and he's also the police officer in Child's Play. So he's an amazing actor and such a sweet guy. Everyone we met was really sweet.
Yeah.
Everyone was really cool.
Literally.
Not a bad experience with anybody that we met. We also met Jim Cummings, who is a legendary voiceover artist.
Well, well, well. Hello out there, my friends. It is I, Hondo Onaka. I have just been discussing with my close personal friend, Kevin, a new business venture that I think you will be very, very interested in. And I have instructed him to collect all of your money and bring it back to me, because that way I can invest it for you. Don't worry. If you don't trust me, surely you can trust Kevin.
My mom and brother are big Winnie the Pooh. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, there you go.
That's so cool, Kev.
Yeah, they're big Winnie the Pooh
fans. I didn't even know you got that.
Yeah. That's awesome. He does the voice of Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. And he's done so many other voices. Such a legendary actor. And that was surreal to me, have a chance to meet him. We got a photo of my mom and him, and that was really cool. And, of course, Andy Serkis. Andy Serkis is one of the, probably, in my opinion, I've said this for a long time, one of the most underrated talents in Hollywood.
Yeah.
The guy is a Swiss Army knife. And he's actually an incredible actor. He played Schmeagol, Gollum. He played Caesar in Planet of the Apes. He played King Kong in King Kong, Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible actor. And he signed our Academy screeners that we had too. So that was really cool. We asked him, we said, have you seen this before? The Academy screeners. He said, oh, this is a VHS tape, right? Or just sold to the public? I'm like, no, no, this is Academy screener for the Academy members to vote. And he was like, oh, really? Oh my gosh, this is so cool. And I said, yeah. And I said, oh, by the way, congratulations. You guys crushed it. Then we met the cast of Back to the Future. That was awesome. It started with Christopher Lloyd. It started with Christopher Lloyd and Thomas F. Wilson. And so Christopher Lloyd played Doc. Thomas F. Wilson played Biff. And we also met James Tolkien, who played Principal Strickland. Yeah. So, you know, slackers. Such a nice guy. Yeah. Wow, what a nice
wonderful
guy.
Person.
Such a wonderful person. Yeah. It was so cool. We must have had probably 15 items for Back to the Future to get signed.
Yeah.
We had later VHS tapes. We had later prints, 89 prints. We had 86 prints. Yeah. We had an actual first print that our good friend of the podcast, Ethan, he goes by Grady VHS on Instagram. Big shout out to Ethan. We got Michael J. Fox to sign his VHS tape, which is, I mean, that tape, it's probably at least a $10,000 tape.
Yeah.
We're in the midst of getting things signed by Michael J. Fox, and it was like an assembly line. Like, you couldn't talk to him. He was just trying to sign stuff, and it was just one after the other, and people were yelling, and it was frantic. Yeah. And I'm like, this isn't just a poster someone bought, guys. Like, I was telling the people that work there, like, this is a $10,000 tape. Yeah. Please, like, give me some TLC.
they were not set up to accommodate us. definitely not. We overwhelmed a lot of the booths with our collectibles. We had a lot of stuff to get signed. I think lessons learned. We'll definitely change the way we do this going forward, I think.
But it all worked out. What's crazy though, this is actually really crazy. We actually had our screener of Back to the Future 2 signed by Christopher Lloyd and Thomas F. Wilson. We use Posca pens because we heard paint pens are better on plastic. So, and it's weird because sometimes we've had situations where a Sharpie doesn't react to plastic. We had that problem in New York Comic Con when we met Kevin Eastman, the creator of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And he tried to sign our VHS tape and it wouldn't work for the Sharpie. So he ended up using his own pen, but transitioned back to Fan X. We're like, okay, we'll use Posca pens. And the thing is, you can't practice with these tapes. You can't practice on them. We had a screener, a very rare screener of Back to the Future 2, and we wanted it signed by the cast, and Christopher Lloyd signed it, and then Thomas F. Wilson signed it, and then literally probably about 20 minutes later, the paint started flaking off the plastic. It wouldn't stick. So I literally would blow on it like this, and then it would just disappear. Like Thanos came and just snapped, and all the signatures were starting to disappear from the VHS tape. And I'm like, what the hell's going on, man? This is the worst. Are you kidding me? Yeah. And then my sister was there, bless her heart. She had some alcohol wipes, and we just wiped it off. Like, can you imagine wiping off Christopher Lloyd's signature off of a VHS tape? That was crazy. So I go back, and my girlfriend, good bless her heart, Stacey, she goes over to the booth and talks to them and says, hey, you know, we have a signature. It started to erase. Can we? And then I walked over there, and they were so accommodating. They brought us to the front of the line. And we were able to get signatures again on using Sharpie this time, and it worked out great.
Yeah.
But it's crazy, guys, because like this is a new medium to get signed, and we're still learning about this. Mm-hmm. But not all plastic is the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all different.
Yeah, it's funny because like some of those POSCO pens, they worked on some VHS tapes and plastics. Others
they worked on almost all the other ones. They worked great on.
Yeah, yeah. They worked great on the Academy screeners too with Andy Serkis. Like Kevin and I tested afterwards. We like actually put our finger on and try to see if it. No, it stayed perfect. It's
still there,
and it reacted great, but it wouldn't react to the screener that we had, which is really wild.
Well, we also had some other issues with the paint pens because of the elevation in Salt Lake City. The pens like kind of explode, especially if you like push too hard down on them. So like so we had a couple issues with signatures where the paint kind of smeared and. Yeah, which is unfortunate, but hopefully we'll get that cleaned up. But but it's just like problems that we didn't think about going into this that now we know that we have to start to consider anytime we go to future signings, especially for getting sealed media signed. It's kind of like a new thing, I feel like. Yeah.
But it was crazy too because after you get everything signed, you're like, okay, now what? I'm like walking around. I got like, I mean, especially my buddy Ethan's tape. That one's like. I mean, who knows what that's worth? I've never seen a first print signed by Michael J. Fox. This could be the only one. It was just nerve-wracking at the time, and especially carrying it around. My sister had a hotel room across the street, so I go to my sister's hotel room and drop it off. I'm like, I'm not gonna walk around with this. This is just too much. I can't. man, my panic level was at an all-time high. The stress level was insane, but it was so worth it, and everything turned out beautifully.
We got everything certified by JSA as well. All the signatures.
They were there. Yep.
Yeah, so when we get these graded, then it means that those signatures are certified and we should be able to get our yellow labels.
Right. It'll work for IGS. It'll work for Rewind. It won't work for Beckett. They don't acknowledge JSA. They'll have to do their own verified signatures. But on top of that, the SEGC, witness only. So I anticipate in the near future when they release their yellow labels, they'll also have that as an option. So, but we couldn't pass this up. It's like, you just got to do it. You just got to do it. Yeah. This is once in a lifetime. Yeah. This is the last part of their tour. And we don't know if the cast of Back to the Future will ever meet again. So we took advantage of this situation as much as we could, humanly possible. And it all worked out. I was very grateful for family and friends. And obviously you guys, we all support each other and making sure that these things were safe. So cool part of
definitely,
history.
Definitely a stressful day, but a couple days. But we made it work.
Yeah. It'd definitely be more chill in the future. I don't think I've ever experienced a stressful situation like that, getting stuff signed.
No.
Ever.
Yeah, really. That was.
Oof. It was my parents' first time going to a con event too, and my dad's like, "I don't know if I want to go again, dude."
I don't blame him, but
Dad, don't worry. It's not like this every time, and I really hope that he comes out.
I promise.
He'll be a different story for sure. And finally, when we had a chance to walk around, we saw some amazing booths, amazing vendors, including Moon Rare Books. They had an unbelievable collection. They had first print books. Like, here's a first print of The Wizard of Oz. Absolutely insane. A first print of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Nice.
First print of The Great Gatsby. First print of Winnie the Pooh signed by the creator.
Yeah. That's insane. Awesome.
The Hobbit first print.
Yeah.
What's really cool, this book actually recently sold on Elite Collectibles 11, their new Instagram page, which sells a variety of collectibles. It just sold for $2,000. This thing was posted and within minutes, it sold. And this book, I mean, this is... Yeah. I think this is a second printing of Shakespeare's works, and they told us this thing's worth $1.5 million.
Yeah.
And it was just sitting there.
He had just sitting there in his booth.
His booth had so much value that nobody.
So much. Oh my god.
And they weren't selling anything. They didn't have a selling license. They were invited. They were invited by FanX just to show their collection because Moon Rare Books has a great following.
Well, I follow them on TikTok. Yeah,
Kevin knew all about them. That's so cool.
They use it as an opportunity to connect with some of the celebrities because I saw the next day he had celebrities basically at the bookshop doing like a bunch of like filming and stuff like that, talking about a bunch of the collectibles and stuff. So
that's so cool. And then here's some collectibles they had. These are wands that were used by the cast on camera. So this was used by, like, I think Rupert was Hermione and used by Harry Potter.
Yeah. So it's Harry, Hermione, Ron, and Professor Snape.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible. And then to the right, you have the actual envelope that was used in the first film. And this one was used on camera, too. It came with a letter. So they used this on camera. There's two different types. There's some that were, there's about 1,000 of them that were pushed out of the letterbox. But this one was used actually on camera with the letter, which is more valuable. And then, of course, this first print Harry Potter book, it's signed by the cast. And you notice, like, if they right next to their signatures, they actually put their character's name because they're new actors. Like
they weren't famous yet. Yeah.
They weren't famous. And they put Harry in, they put Ron in, they put Hermione. That's so cool. This was signed during the filming of the first movie.
Yeah.
So they were probably 10 or 11, 12 years old.
I love Ron's signature. It's so big and just
it's so bold. Big. And then a tiny, tiny little Ron.
Rupert just like, this
Ron
is
Ron Weasley.
So good. And then a first print of Jurassic Park along with props. These were props used in the actual
real props,
movie.
Yeah.
Real props. That's crazy. Wow. That's
amazing.
Absolutely incredible. And then the book of film.
Yes.
It's from Monty Python. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a grail by itself. I mean, it's ironic because it's from the Monty Python, the Holy Grail, but this is a grail within the grail.
This is the only one that exists. There is no second.
Is it really the only one? There was only
because it's the only one they made for the movie. There was no budget for the movie. So this is it. This is literally all that exists for the book.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Wow. And then the actual whip and hat used from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yep.
That was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And then these claws were used in Logan by Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
He actually put them on his hand and he let us touch them, and it looked awesome.
Oh, they're also like really sharp
versions.
Yeah. So, Kevin, what were these used for specifically?
So, the hero props like this are used for close-ups. So, like, if you really want to see a close-up shot of like the claws and see how like metal they are, or they might be dripping with blood, that's really what those are used for. They're very rarely used on set. Mostly you have like plastic ones or foam rubber ones for a lot of the effect stuff, but these are the ones that they make to be like in your face shots when you really want to see what it looks like with the claws in their hands. But that's amazing.
And a big shout out to Reed Moon. He was the owner of the shop, and he also showed these to us personally. And he was talking about, so he's really big on TikTok, and he was talking about how he might actually do a video where he's going to cut watermelon or something. Was that right?
Stab watermelon.
The claws. That's so cool. That's so cool. They're legit. They're absolutely legit.
There we go.
These. Yes.
So I combined these photos together. This is the front, and also the right to the right is the actual, when you open it up, you see the inside. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely stunning. So this is the script from the first Star Wars, an actual script. Guys, this is like Smithsonian status.
Well, these are actually the first, like, I think the first, second, and third drafts of the original script. So this isn't even what they even like used to film with. This is before even that. So these are like the early versions, which is why you'll see.
They have a different name.
Journey of the Wills, Star Killer, and the War of Star Wars and stuff like that. So like you can see like how even like George Lucas was changing with like the title of the film and what the name was going to be, and then eventually they called it the Star Wars. But
that's so
it's
cool.
It's just cool to see like all this. Yeah,
and we saw so many amazing costumes.
Yeah,
I was really blown away how many incredible costumes. What were some of the favorites that stood out to you guys?
Let's see.
I mean,
the Stranger Things one,
and for all of us, the alien one as well.
Yeah. So the alien one was amazing. Yeah. The actual, like, you see the drip in the mucus coming out of the mouth.
Yeah. That was.
And same with the Demogorgon.
I think it was the same person who had both those costumes. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They are amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whoever that was, man, shout out to that person.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Like, they literally couldn't get into the actual con event. They were still putting everything on when people would come by and take pictures. Because it was just so cool looking. Like, they couldn't even onto the floor.
It was so awesome. But what an amazing experience. We talked about how that was one of the best con experiences we had. I mean, even with the stress of getting being signed, we can't wait to go back. We can't wait to go back to Salt Lake City for this next year. It was incredible.
I would say that one had like way more like, first off, I think there were way more costumes. Like the other con events that we've been to, and on top of that, like, there were no big name brands there. It was all much more smaller stuff, artist focused and stuff like that, and that was a lot more intimate and kind of cool to like be a part of that, and it felt just a little bit more like you're all together to do this, and it was pretty awesome. I loved it.
It was really awesome.
Oh, and we got to see Rob Pryor. So great seeing Rob. Rob, we was one of our earliest guests on the podcast, and just an incredible artist. And got to see him paint live to metal music. You know, live on the floor, and which is he like dances and like spins around and just like throws paint. He gets so into it. And he's painting with two hands too. It's just. Rob is
so everyone out there, Rob is ambidextrous, so he can actually use both of his hands when he paints. It's unreal. I mean, this guy is famous for getting on stage with like Jay-Z and Metallica and painting on stage while the band is playing in front of thousands of people. It is so sick. Rob is the man, and it was so fun too.
Also, like, such a good guy.
Amazing guy. Exactly. And seeing his apprentices there. And he has his son was there, who's a really talented artist. They all are absolutely amazing. One of his apprentices, she painted this incredible painting of a clicker from The Last of Us. That was very, very cool.
I couldn't stop staring at it. It was just so
amazing. I was stunned. Yeah, and she painted it there at the event. Wow.
Yeah.
But overall, FanX, guys, what a blast. Oh, and we got to meet Dr. Stuff.
He came by. That was awesome.
Well, I've met Dr. Stuff many times, but
you guys got to meet him.
It was our first time.
Huge shout out to Dr. Stuff. That is so much fun meeting him. Such a cool guy. We had dinner that night. And it was an absolute blast, man. That was such a good time. That was such a good time. And overall, FanX, guys, really, like, get out there.
Highly recommend
it. It was an absolute blast. Yeah. And thanks again, everybody, for watching and all your support. Man, it's just surreal to be at this point. And just to know, like, the journey's just begun. So I really appreciate you all. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.